Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Things.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's a song.
Brought to you by Boston Market. Hi, this is Luke.
This is Carrie.
And welcome to...
Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Hooray.
Yay.
We have special guests. We have the ever-famous Ken.
I am famous now, yes. Well, at least infinitesimally famous, if nothing more.
And of Pot of Destiny fame, we have Blastabill Putt.
Boom shagalaka.
And of... Carrie's husband fame, Josh.
Oh, yeah!
So, this is episode 46.
I'm pregnant!
Yay!
What?
This is how you tell Josh.
Oh, my.
Wow. That's why you bought dinner. Okay.
I'm also eating dinner. I know I didn't buy it.
Is it Nando's?
Oh.
I wish.
It is chicken. You know what? During the first power outage, I lost my leftover Piri Piri sauce because it went bad.
Aww.
So, at least I got to try some before, you know, it went bad.
Nando's is awesome.
What is that? I got to open up my bottle.
So, yeah. So, since Carrie has her mouth full, I could start by talking about what I've been up to since the last time we got together 6 weeks ago. Yeah. Let's see. We had an awesome birthday party for Jared Perez over at Galloping Ghost that Carrie put together, and that was a fun time.
Yes.
Then there was 4th of July, and we saw things explode in the sky, and that was neat. I did character gigs. Oh, so then, yeah, like a few days before I was supposed to leave for Neuterpalooza, there was a bullshit storm in the area that knocked out the power at my house. For I think it was at least 2 full days, maybe 2.5 days, and it got so desperate because I had to get ready for Nerdapalooza, part of which was finishing a new song I wanted to world premiere there. I actually packed up all of my computer equipment and took it over to Matt Doohan's house so that I could record. Well, I had many things I had to get done, but I recorded one of the songs for my new album entirely at Matt Doohan's house.
Which one?
It's the one that premiered at Nerdapalooza.
Oh, yeah.
That will be on the Fump in a month.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, that was a huge pain in the ass, and me and Sarah lost about, $250 worth of food because, virtually everything in the refrigerator went bad and, ditto the freezer. I think we saved some of the stuff in the freezer.
Yeah.
I won't recap Nerdapalooza because that's what episode 45 is all about, is us reporting on the con as it happened. So you can just listen to that if you haven't already. Jared Perez made an awesome fan video for Snoopy the Dog, which has been posted on Blip TV, so...
Yeah, that was cool.
Yes.
Go to my website to...
What's wrong, kitty?
What is up? We're in here! Abby!
I'm sorry we switched rooms. We're terrible people.
There were people playing with me, and now they're gone.
If you want to come hang out in here, come in here. Yeah, you! I hope the mic can pick that up.
I don't know.
Oh, wait, is that the sound of Sarah coming home?
It's the sound of Sarah.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Today is the first day of work for Sarah at her new job.
Yay!
So we'll have to ask her about that when she gets here. Put to the next month here. So, yeah, I had been frantically working in all of my spare time to get 3 other new songs and 2 new sketches finished for my album, Be Amused By Me. So, that pretty much occupied the majority of, my time.
Bill will get it.
It's in the kitchen on the far right side.
Thank
of
you.
The kitchen.
You can tell the internet that they don't need to bring you salt and pepper now. Bill's gone. And
yeah,
for you.
Bill got it.
Okay.
Thanks for the offer, internet.
The pepper's in one of those grinder thingies.
probably so, yeah. been 5 weeks since the last bad report.
It's actually, yeah, been yeah, 6 weeks.
6 weeks to the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, basically, and that's the other thing is, the day before I was supposed to leave for Gen Con Indy, once again, God decided to whip up another storm to take out the power at my house. So I ended up having to pack up my computer and take my home computer with me to Gen Con just so that I could finish up all of the necessary audio and other preparatory things I had to do for Gen Con that I had to do on my computer. So it's kind of a geek first for me. I hope I earned valuable geek cred points for having packed up and taken my home computer to a convention for the first time.
I deem you get 20 geek points.
Yay!
Has he leveled up?
I don't know. Let's check his status bar.
Yes. So, yeah, I guess we could talk about my album more later or something, unless...
Oh, we need to get to the Transformers wrap-up so that... because Bill has to leave soon.
Actually, Bill hasn't seen Transformers 3 yet. So
I have not.
It might make more sense for us to wait till after he goes and then do the Transformers wrap-up.
Oh, okay.
The new Cirque du Soleil album has been pre-released, so you can... As of this moment, you can still pre-order it, but the pre-order offer is going to end in a few days. So go to thefunk.com and pre-order the album. You can get the bonus download album that has 40 minutes of bloopers and live stuff and rejected sketches and other things. So, yeah. So do that. So that pretty much sums up what I've all been up to. Hey, Carrie and Ken are waving at each other for no reason. So, Ken, what have you been up to lately?
I've been to Gen Con this last weekend. I actually drove up Joster on Thursday afternoon. Fortunately, got there in time to play the Shooting Ladders Frag Fest tournament with my daughter. She actually beat me, though. She didn't win a prize. And actually, spent a whole weekend playing games I can't play at home, which was the idea of going to Gen Con. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you're going to wrap up about your part about Gen Con. Of course, Gen Con for me is Saturday, and Gen Con is Luke's show. I mean, it's what's been since 2003.
That's the only reason to go to Gen Con, in my opinion.
Yes, well.
I thought you liked games, Bill.
I like games, but when I'm around that many people, I want to socialize. And they don't want to socialize. No. They want to play games.
Yes, yeah. There's no partying. To me, there's no parties at Gen Con. No other people go there.
I've never seen a party at Gen Con.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never even passed one.
There is a dance, but it's always the same time as when I'm performing my right. Saturday night concert, so I never get over to it. Because by the time I get done with all that, I'm just like, I don't want to crash, or I want to get food or something.
I know I missed a Damsels concert because by the time I got back to my hotel room 3 blocks away, I was just too exhausted. And actually was able to finally see the Evil Fleet group's game, which they've been asking me to stop by for years, since one of my co-workers runs it.
Oh, good.
And actually it's interesting, the idea is you play, their big game is called Can of Whoop-Ass, and you actually play as a famous character, and whenever you battle someone, you have to taunt the other person as your character. Like, I know, so it was Dr. Reyes from, or was it Reyes or Zayas, Bill?
Dr. Zayas.
One character was Dr. Zayas. He was battling Gollum. So they had to count each other as those two people. Then the winner got the extra bonus with the dice.
Cool.
So, Bill, what have you been up to lately?
Oh, my God, I've been so freaking busy with work and conventions. Went from PenguinCon, working at PenguinCon, to working on going to Convergence. Then I went to Camp Con, which is a small con in Michigan. Then I had to work on stuff for Maker Faire. Maker Faire is an awesome, awesome, awesome fun time. If you guys can make it to Maker Faire. I don't think Chicago has one yet. But I belong to a hackerspace. And so we had a very big tent there at the Maker Faire a couple weeks ago. So what I did for the Maker Faire is I... Remember my golf cart, Carrie?
Yeah.
I pimped...
Your gator?
Oh no,
the
golf cart. I pimped the golf cart out. I painted it all up, put a lift kit on it, put a new back seat on it, whatnot. So that's what I did for the Maker Faire, so that we could ferry stuff back and forth from the tent out to the cars, which is about a half hour trip by walking.
Wow, that must have been very appreciated.
It was. It's a half hour to walk from the parking lot to the tents.
Yeah.
So with the gator, it's only like 5 minutes with the golf cart. So. The entire Saturday, I spent trying to fix it because it decided to break the day of the fair.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, man.
Of course.
So we finally got it running, and they were so appreciative that they didn't have to carry all their stuff after a hot day of in the sun working.
Yeah.
So, and then I did more work and some more work, and my company is literally trying to kill me, I think, because I've just been working too damn much. And now I'm in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yay.
Probably an evidence of them trying to kill you.
Yes.
Well, when I'm out of town, it's not so bad. Because when I'm in town, they like, oh, hey, we can throw Bill on this service call before he goes to his night job.
Yeah.
So here I don't get service calls before my night jobs. So it's actually better when I'm out of town.
Okay.
That's why I can be here with you guys.
Josh, what have you been up to lately?
Oh, let's see. We went to Florida, went to Disney World, went to Minnesota.
Oh, and I have your top 10 list.
That's true.
I had that down in my notes.
Okay.
You can do that now if you want.
All right, so this is my my top 10 list of favorite attractions.
And at some point I will have it pulled up.
All right, hang on. Our arms are getting tired.
Wait, stop that.
And now, a massage from the Swedish Prime Minister.
Okay, Josh's favorite attractions at Disney World. He did not, keep in mind, he did not go to Animal Kingdom. He only went to Disney Hollywood Studios, the Magic Kingdom, and Epcot. Number 10, Tom Sawyer Island.
Ooh, yeah!
Number 9, the Toy Story Experience. The one we went on with you, Luke.
And Luke,
oh,
completely,
Toy Story Mania?
Oh.
The one that I completely pwned you on?
I would have.
It's a shooting game, but it's a newer Toy Story shooting game. They still have the older Toy Story shooting game there, too.
Luke cheated somehow because he won.
I cheated by having skills and pwning you.
I could cheat the Men in Black one at Universal.
Okay, number 8, Star Tours.
Woo!
Okay.
Number 7, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yay.
Great, but too short.
Number 6, Muppets 3D.
Yay.
Number 5.
Now it gets weird.
Captain EO.
Yay.
Captain EO.
Someone explain it. I can't scream so much.
Captain EO, you don't need to scream as much as you are. Captain EO is a music video, like, what's like, what, 20 minutes long?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a film.
15, I think.
It's a music video slash film in 3D starring Michael Jackson.
Okay.
From the 80s.
It came out during the height of Michael Jackson popularity.
Okay.
It was while he was technically still black.
That's a long time ago.
So yeah, I know I saw it at least once as a kid, but I barely remember it.
It was hilarious, it was cheesy,
it was really heavily Star Wars influenced.
Well, George Lucas
was behind it.
Such an awful sight.
Did they like clean it up at all? Like, is it like digitally remastered or anything
You know, 3D? Well, they had.
No.
They've done some fix up on it.
It's not digitally remastered. It still looks all old and crappy.
But it's old and crappy in 3D.
Yeah.
And 3D's new shiny technology.
Yay.
Number 4, Haunted Mansion.
Yay!
That's a classic.
Number 3, Country Bear Jamboree.
Okay.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Southwest, okay?
Oh, okay.
Explains it.
Number 2, Mission Space.
You actually went on Mission Space.
No, he went on Mission Space.
We only had time to go on the green one, but I'd like to try and do the...
next time he's going to do the orange one.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's Mission Space, a.k.a. Mission to Mars, the ride.
A.k.a. I will never go on it again because it feels like being in a coffin.
But it's Gary Sinise.
that was his last role, apparently. So.
And Josh's number one favorite attraction at Disney World is... the entire international section of Epcot, the whole back.
And everyone goes,
huh? Yeah.
Oh. See, when I was a kid, I didn't even know that part existed. I just cared about all the cool future
stuff.
I thought
that was for old people.
Well, the Spaceship Earth was pretty hilarious and sort of the, you know, this is the future, according to the 1950s.
Yeah. yes. We didn't get a chance to go on the, what's that one
the
in the Magic
Mover.
Kingdom?
The
no. In the Magic Kingdom, where it goes around in a circle and you watch all these animatronic
The Carousel of Progress.
We didn't have a Carousel of Progress.
It's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
We did go on It's a Small World After All.
Or
whatever.
I was feeling really crappy, and I didn't know what it was. And what it was that I have more blood in me because I'm pregnant, and so I just kept getting these head rush things. And I didn't know what it was. I thought it could have been something more serious, so we ended up leaving earlier than we really needed to.
But then after that, we got some bad news on the trip back, and
that my grandfather had died.
And so we went
my dad's dad.
So we went to drove to Minnesota on that Sunday, and came back. I guess I'll let you describe that, Pete.
Describe what?
Well, that part of the trip.
Okay. I don't feel like it.
Okay. All right. So, flash forward. You know,
that was a good series.
Lots of work stuff. Went to Gen Con. Drove down there with Ken.
Hey, we saw Captain America.
We did see Captain America. Captain America is awesome.
Excellent movie.
It is like, you know, I was afraid that it was going to turn out to be more like, you know, Green Lantern and less like X-Men First Class, but fortunately it was
In my opinion, they got nothing wrong.
No, they did. They got nothing wrong at all.
I need to see it again when I'm in a better mood.
She missed the musical part of it all.
It's like, out of all the things she had to miss.
The
musical was excellent.
But then, Gen Con spent more time than is healthy playing Dungeons & Dragons, Savage Worlds, and Battle Stations for hours upon hours
and
upon
that was
hours.
An awesome setup they had.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was
you
awesome.
You played games for hours?
Luke's
yes.
Concert
yes.
featuring me.
Oh, okay. That
yeah, I'm a jerk.
That loses points there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, this is... Okay, now, again,
well,
you've got to get the visual of everybody heaps scorn on me here.
Okay.
Scorn.
That's violence. That's not heaping scorn on me. It's not even violence.
It's my favorite kind of scorn.
Scorn porn.
I felt really guilty as I was rolling them their dice, though.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sure you did.
Anyway, that's... my company got sold last week, and so lots of my colleagues now apparently have lots and lots of money, and
he doesn't,
and I don't. So, but anyway, other than that, everything's great. So,
so is this the what has Carrie been up to lately?
Sure.
I have a human in me.
Yay! You got a human in me. You got human in me. Just a penis inside your vagina now. And they locked Randy Newman away.
Yay!
You have broken Josh.
I will now never be able to disassociate fatherhood from Randy Newman. Thank you.
We still have a different song stuck in my head.
Wow.
Mommy, where did I come from? Well, listen to this recording of Luke.
Anyways, that's the good news. The bad news is I'm due on March 12th, so I probably won't be at Mars.
Oh. Pout.
Come on. A live birth, that's a main stage event.
Okay, if you can get my entire team of doctors out to MarsCon with me, then...
We don't need them. We just need the machine that goes ping!
That's going to be my costume at Bill's party.
Yay!
Me and Josh are going to... I'm the pregnant lady, and he's the... You know, one of the medical people, and I guess we'll have to have a cardboard box to represent the machine that goes ping.
For those that don't know, I'm having a Monty Python birthday party.
Yes.
Because I'm 37, not old.
Yes.
Have you heard Luke's new Monty Python song?
I did.
Yet?
It is good.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I've now heard all of Luke's new songs.
Yes, because while we were waiting for you guys, I played him the songs he hadn't heard, and he's very happy with them, especially that one.
Especially that one, you know.
Especially that other one.
With that wink, wink, nudge, nudge, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want to give away too much about them yet on the podcast.
Well, you already released that one on the Fump, so.
Well, yeah, why don't we take a pause and I'll play it right now. Okay.
Bing.
It's...
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
I have a silly wolf. And I'd like to obtain a government grant to help me develop it.
I'm not prepared to pursue my life in crime any further. I guess you can just get getting too silly.
Monty Python.
Why do we silly,
Monty
silly,
Python.
Silly? Right.
Monty
get on with
Python.
It. Get
Monty
on with
Python.
It.
But now,
walking
go,
silly
go,
once
go,
again.
Go,
doing that Monty
go,
Python
go,
thing.
Go,
Ministry
go,
of silly
go,
walks.
Go,
my parents
go,
no longer
go,
talks.
I'd like to talk to you tonight about the place of the nude in my bed.
What a giveaway.
And now a choice of viewing on BBC.
How not to be seen?
Squash my cartoon feet.
Conrad Boo's in his dancing tea.
We're all out of cheese, but we got half a bee.
And all the fairy rat tart you can eat.
Appalling.
Right back, ladies, recreate Pearl Harbor every night.
My hovercraft is full of eels. My nipples explode with delight.
I'm a superhero man. You need someone to fix his bike.
And if you have ever slept with a lady, please tell me what it's like.
Walking silly once again. Doing that Monty Python thing.
Just one mattress would be fine.
I'm not coming out.
What did you say that for?
But it's my only line.
Dinsdale.
People make the mistake of seeing Luke's work as a little rubbish filled with pop culture references. But clever people like me talk loudly and song parody. See, this is an ingenious cross-marketing and nerds to buy his house.
We ate Robin's minstrels and there was much rejoicing.
I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster.
Licensed my fish so they could spawn. But I slapped the dancer with a beast withdrawn. And now I ask myself,
I wonder where that fish has gone.
I'm a lumberjack and though I may seem rather queer, I hope someday I'll be the hourglass twin of the year.
I don't like to eat a crunchy frog, but the albatross is okay.
As I can't hear for an argument, don't just contradict what I say.
Shut up. Walking silly once again. Doing that Monty Python thing. Bruce's teach philosophy.
Yeah, yeah. Rule 6, there is no first 3.
And now the breakdown by new R&B group, Boys to Gumby.
Hello, shut up! Are you the harmony specialist? Hello! Brian Hill, shut up! It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday! Sorry, I'm basically down the foot in jumbo!
Now check this out, one day back in London, 6 guys wanted a show. They came up to me, I said, well, what's your name?
Monty Python.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying. Then I said, all right, fellas, well, let me see what you can do. So they all put on Viking outfits and said, yo, Ian McNaughton, check this out. See if this one moves you.
Spam, 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 spam,
shut up!
Spam, 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 spam. Expect the Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects the oh bugger.
And yes, yeah, that was a song and stuff.
Yay, that was awesome.
It's from my new album, Be Amused by Me, which is available at, of course, lukeski.com, both in MP3 format and in archaic CD with instant MP3 download format. Please get it.
Bill approved.
And enjoy said album, because that's probably the biggest reason why we haven't had an episode in 6 weeks.
Well, let's see. There was finishing the album, there was Nerdapalooza, Gen Con, 2 power outages, Disney World, a death.
but mostly, you know, your album.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Yes. So, I had here some notes. That has to do with Carrie. Are you still eating, or do you
I'm
want to
still
talk?
Still eating.
You're still eating. All right.
Different topic. Bill, pick a topic.
We could read comments because they go in the middle of the
comments
show.
Comments go in the middle of the show.
Well, you guys read them.
We'll read the comments from episode 43. There aren't that many.
Okay.
Here, you can read the first one.
Oh, no. Oh, it's mine. Luke, in reference... Luke, in reference to you're hearing a sound clip from Convoy in World's Address, They Might Be Giants actually have lots of references to CB radios in their songs. I've always thought this was interesting. Before the internet, I had a base station, aka CB, in the house with a very large antenna in my room and would chat with all other folks with CBs in the area. So I know all about the CB lingo. One song in particular is filled with almost nothing but CB lingo. It is called Rabbit Child. One thing I've always loved about They Might Be Giants is their little obscure nuggets of joy in their songs. That's what I wrote.
See, They Might Be Giants, to me, seems to be one of those groups that is just as, like, a juggernaut continually releasing new albums.
Yes.
Like, I know I hit a certain point in, like, the mid-2000s where I kind of felt like, all right, cool, I've got a pretty decent handle on the career of They Might Be Giants in my personal music collection. But now, it's like, how many albums have they put out since, like, 2005?
Oh, I know.
I feel like I kind of don't get most of their music when I hear it.
Yeah.
I haven't explored it too much, but...
I mean, they've done, like, 4 children's albums.
Yes.
You know?
And then there's all the projects that they've done solo-ly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, oh, yeah, they
solo-ly.
They'll speak.
Yeah. They put stuff out massively, and it is hard to keep up as a hardcore They Might Be Giants fan. And not all of them are hits. Not all of them are great, but there are lots of nuggets of joy in all of the different varieties of songings they do.
Okay. Well, here's another comment about episode 43. Arkel says, "Given my track record of liking movies a bit outside the mainstream audience's tastes, I'll probably end up liking Tree of Life if I see it. But before I do that, I have one question for Carrie. What did you think of that film's director's second most recent work, The Thin Red Line?"
I did not see it.
That's what I figured.
No, Tree of Life.
Tree of Life is a perfect movie to go to if you think that your life is precisely 3 hours too long.
He's saying it to Arkel. "I don't know what Carrie's response will be, but to quote Roger Ebert on The Thin Red Line, the movie's schizophrenia keeps it from greatness. Personally, I want my 3 hours back."
That's almost just what Josh said.
No, he was talking about Tree of Life. That guy was talking about Thin Red Line.
But he says, yeah.
It still sounds
thin
like
red Tree of Life, 6 hours of bad movies. Oh.
So here's
Thin Red Tree of Life. It'd probably make more sense, too.
Anything would.
So here is a comment from Jay Thorncastle, who says, "Sorry if this is long, but this is my first comment. I was in a car accident November 1st, broke my pelvis in 3 places. I had just started listening to your podcast before everything, and I have to say it helped me get through the boredom. So I would just like to say thank you for being out there."
Aw.
Yay! Oh.
"Luke, thank you for informing me that there is still a con in Milwaukee. I miss it when Gen Con was there. Carrie, it's cool you name stuff. I name tons of stuff, like my garden gnome named Roman. I would also care to meet you so I could say hello. I acted really lame when I met Luke because I geeked out because I was meeting the awesomeness face to face.
Besides, wow.
Oh dear God.
Besides, you are both people as well, so no need to act so lame. LOL. Thank you again, and sorry that was so long." Well, if you really think that comment is long, wait until you hear your bonuses 3 comments at the end of the show that have to do with Transformers.
Oh gosh,
I'm a Roman gnome.
So I'll just read this last one here really quick. "Oh my God, I remember." It's from Wildcard. "Oh my God, I remember Electric Haunted House of Love. I always thought it was by Kiss, since the DJs never said the names of the artists for the songs they played." So I'm not sure if he's confused or whatever, because the song we played was Electric Harley House of Love by Green Jello. So unless Electric Haunted House of Love is a different song by Kiss, I'm not sure what the deal is there. So, yay! So that was comments for episode 43. Huzzah!
Yay!
Is Carrie ready for talking yet?
No.
Okay.
Because now I'm eating Josh's food too.
All right, well, I'll go through some ignorant stories. We're just doing everything out of order here. Who cares? And I'm basically, like I've said in past episodes, I don't like waiting too long to do these ignorant stories because I forget what, you know, I'll email a note to myself, and if it's within 2 weeks, I can remember the details of what it was. But now that it's been 6 weeks, I don't remember all the details of these, but I will try to, you know, get these stories across. Okay, so really quick quiz here. Ken, what's 2 times 2?
4.
Bill, what's 3 times 2?
Uh-oh. 6.
Okay, Josh, what's 1 times 2?
Z. No. 2.
Okay. Carrie, what is 4 times 2?
8.
All right, bonus round. What's 5 times 2?
10.
10 times 2?
20.
15 times 2?
30.
20 times 2?
40.
Okay, cool.
Y'all watched an Ozark episode.
So, I can't count the number of times somebody comes up to me because, of course, they walk from the wrong direction and don't see the side of the sign that has the prices on it, and they ask me, oh, how much does it cost? And I end up, instead of saying, we'll just walk around and look at the sign, I try to explain to them really quick, and I say, well, for Head and Shoulders with a name in black and white, it's $5 per person. For the same thing with a body and background, it's $10 per person. If you want it in color, Head and Shoulders with a name, it's $15 per person. And if you want it in color with a body, it's $20 per person. And then the guy says to me, and for two people? Motherfucker! I just said all those prices were for a person! You can't multiply by two! Are you that fucking dumb? God!
Maybe we have like a multiplication rock thing on. Maybe that number 2 song on multiplication rock.
So yeah, so that just happens. I can't even remember the details of this, but basically a woman ripped me off for like $20 because she had me draw like, you know, she had like a gaggle of, I don't know if they were all her children or her children and her children's friends all there as a big group, but I drew like 4 of them in a row. Like black and white, you know, just Head and Shoulders with a name, so it was like $20. And she said that she was, you know, going off to, you know, get change or get money or something, and she just basically walked off and, you know, didn't come back and pay me.
That's awesome.
And at one point, I saw the kids, and they like, I approached them, and I said, oh, by the way, your mom still needs to owe me. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, she's getting the money, and then, you know.
Yeah. They're apparently used to that.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Dine and ditch.
Dine and dash was. Yeah.
So basically, so yeah, here's another one. Is someone's like, oh, can you do characters? You know, draw people as something. And this is with them looking at my book that has the different bodies in it. You know, and they're like, can you draw? I'm like, yes. And then they kind of look at that and they say, well, how would you do that? Well, I take the pen and I move it on the paper, and then the lines turn into the image. It's like, how would I do that? Like, what the fuck? This is something something else that happens frequently enough that I had to invent a name for it in my own head. And it's the movie The Jerk, starring Steve Martin.
Yeah.
The scene at the end where he's all mad, and he's like, you know, I don't need you. I don't need anything. I don't need anything but this chair. And he picks up the chair. I don't need anything but this chair and this ashtray. And he picks up the ashtray. I don't need this, and I don't need anything. I need this. And then he's like picking up, you know, he has like 20 items in his hands.
That's my favorite scene.
Yeah. So basically, I've invented this thing I call The Jerk Syndrome, where basically, you know, I start drawing, it's, you know, oh, can you make it with playing soccer? Okay, fine. Yeah, that's just, oh, and just one more thing. Can you make the number on his shirt 14? Sure. Okay, fine. That's it. Oh, and they just kind of keep coming back. Like, yeah. Oh, just one more thing. Okay, just add this. And it's like, fucking, come up with your itemized list of all the shit you want in this drawing at the beginning, and then I'll figure out a way to ergonomically work it all in and how much I'm going to charge you for it, depending on whether or not you're going to detail me to death with this thing. So, yeah, that happens. Somebody actually walked up to me and asked the question, how much for your photos?
Photos.
Oh. Just imagining the I'm opposed to items voice.
I am opposed to items!
My daughter's favorite sketch from that.
Why was your daughter listening?
Because it's Ken's daughter.
No, she was actually, she was.
Because you thought she was listening to headphones.
Yeah, she then, was a, then she took them off and started, all of a sudden I hear him cackling in the back. I thought it was stereo. I'm like, wait a minute, that's my kid laughing to this.
And some people know what we're talking about and others don't.
Yes. Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 1, Grandmother, available at thefump.com.
I'm on it.
You're on it.
I'm not.
Oh.
I'm on it. I'm on it.
But apparently I inspired a sketch, and I want to know what when I hear it.
Which one?
I don't know. You said the at some point in time that me and Moonbeam inspired a sketch that you were going to put on the next one.
Oh,
but
okay.
Who knows if it happened?
I'll have to look at the list again. I now vaguely remember you...
I don't know.
Or you know what? It's you didn't inspire a sketch that I didn't have time to write it. But I put it in the master idea Google Docs list.
It's
so,
in the master list.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So, all right. Carrie, are you ready for talking now?
I need another, minute.
So, while we're waiting for Carrie, I would like to say one thing here. On my podcast, The Toad Elevating Moment, we have kind of copied your idea of the True Tales of Ignorance from the character stand.
Mm-hmm.
But me and my cohort are both technicians, so we have a segment we call Teched Off, which we talk about stupid...
I never thought of it as a copy.
Well, that's what inspired the idea, was Luke saying, I'm like, we have that happen in our job, but we're technicians, so it's Teched Off. We talk about stupid project managers, stupid managers, and we sometimes talk about our own stupidity. So I just wanted to let you know that that's where that idea came from for our show.
Oh.
So
I'd like to switch places with Josh so I'm not directly behind the mic.
I bet you would.
Uh-oh.
It's time to switch places.
Hey!
We're having a podcast fire drill.
That's theme show music for the 21st century.
Droid.
I have a droid now.
You have a droid now?
I have a droid now.
Yay!
I don't use it much yet, but I have it.
Well, the more you have it, the more you'll use it. And
yes.
The more you use it, the more you'll like it. And the more
yes.
you like it, the more you'll never want to let it go.
It's like crack.
It is. It's the bestest.
Right now, I use it to play Angry Birds when I'm bored at work.
That's a good one. I has Angry Birds on my purse.
So I have
Ooh.
Two topics here that you can pick from.
Hear what he's
going
to say. The speech errors chart is actually an image. So
well,
oh,
it's over there.
Oh, so Luke was nice enough to print up the chart that Ken was nice enough to make for me based on the stats that I scribbled down on post-it notes at work while listening to episode 43.
I wonder if those notes will be are worth anything.
And I said 48 times in episode 43. This is only I only went through it once, so you know I'm not sure. I stuttered and or stumbled 46 times in episode 43. I said 21 times in episode 43. Like was only 9 times in episode 43. You know, was 9 times. Random dragging out so was 6 times. Random yeah, 3 times. Random cuz was 2 times. A well was 1 time. A run-on sentence was 1 time. And repeating myself was 1 time.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Episode 43.
Yay!
So, I guess I just, it just really stood out to me that time, and, you know, I'd like to join some sort of, you know, some sort of boot camp, re-education camp, so that I can learn how to speak like a fucking adult someday.
How about a new company called Word Watchers?
Narfoy went through official broadcast school training to talk properly on the microphone.
Yeah.
So maybe he has some tips for you if you see him next time.
Ooh, yeah.
Good idea.
So,
but I'll forget. But is he going to be at the party?
He might. He might be at the party.
I tend to forget things.
I will try to remember.
But that's only a week and a half, so I might be able to remember something for a whole week and a half.
I should be there, so that might.
You're going?
Yay!
Sadly, I will not be attending the party. I will be performing at a charity event in Chicago.
Yay!
Called Can't Stop the Serenity.
Yay!
They'll be showing Dr. Horrible sing-along vlog and Serenity, and I'll be performing at it.
Yeah, I found out about that happening after I planned my party. I was quite upset. But there's not.
I wouldn't have said what my costume was if I knew you were going. I mean, obviously, Bill knows what my costume is because all the costumes have to be approved.
Well, I just don't. I don't want people because everyone was like wanting the same costume.
He doesn't want a bunch of duplicates unless duplicates are appropriate.
It's like everyone was trying to grab the same three costumes. I'm like, let's spread the costumes out here.
You know what? I'd like to see five people at a con dressed as the upper class twits of the year.
Yes, yes, that would be excellent.
I don't know if I saw that one. I'll do reflections on suburban life some other time. I already did Josh's Disney World top 10, so we're good.
Okay.
Yay.
Well, why don't we take another song break here, and then we can read News of the Stupid.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Susan. I know you're a pro dieter by now, so I need some dieting advice. What can I do to lose all this weight? What I'm doing now isn't working.
I swear by Jenny Craig. But I've put most of the weight back on now. What have you been trying?
Good old-fashioned calorie counting is it. Say, David, what dieting methods have you tried?
Atkins, Weight Watchers, South Beach. I've tried them all. Nothing's worked. I wish there was a better way.
Fear not. I have the perfect new solution for all of you.
What is it?
It's a revolutionary new method called staying fat.
Staying fat?
Staying fat is a low-impact, high-calorie lifestyle system.
But how does it work?
You don't need exercise, and you don't need to buy an all-new wardrobe. In fact, you can eat all the foods you want, as much as you want, while still staying fat.
That sounds too good to be true. What's the catch?
Only the catch of the day at Red Lobster. Yes, this simple, user-friendly method fits into anyone's schedule. In fact, unlike most diets, staying fat succeeds 95% of the time.
What other advantages are there to staying fat?
With staying fat, you get more TV watching time, extended internet access hours, you'll be easier to find in a crowd, you'll get extra room on the bus because people won't want to sit next to you, nobody will ask you to help them move, you'll be harder to kidnap, you'll get more surface area for all you tattoo enthusiasts, and women's breasts will stay nice and big, as will the men's.
Wait a minute. This is one of those plans where you have to buy only certain expensive foods, isn't it?
To the contrary. Staying Fat's menu is limitless. Just listen to some of our recommended food items.
Chicken fried bacon, bacon fried chicken bacon, fried bacon chicken, chocolate covered pork rinds, nacho cheese cupcakes, french fry flavored potato chips, battered deep fried steak, a gallon of ice cream and a stick of butter, frosty pickle malts, fruits or vegetables encased in a block of caramel or cheese, a pony, and a 32 gallon drum of goddamn chili.
I want a pony.
Wow!
That's amazing!
How do I sign up?
To sign up, just send 13 easy payments of $42.27 to Staying Fat, 239 Taft Avenue, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, 53147. Or set up automated payments at our website, www.gravitationalpull.com.
Be sure to sign up on our mailing list so you can get in on the ground floor for our next level in development, Getting Fatter.
Gotta sign up for the email.
Staying Fat Incorporated is not responsible for heart attacks, diabetes, strokes, death, the accidental trampling of pets, or anything else that happens anytime, anywhere, ever. Offer void in Ethiopia.
And now it's time for...
News of the Stupid! Created by Debo Spice, visit DeboSpice.com. Reported by the internet from all over the world. And submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so that means that you incriminate.
Today's stories were submitted by Elizabeth Carnes and Kyle Hudson. A Chicago lawyer says his opponent in a small claims case is using an unfair tactic by sitting a buxom woman next to him at counsel's table. Attorney Thomas Gooch said the woman's sole purpose is to draw the attention of the jury away from the relevant proceedings in a dispute over a used car. He asked Cook County Circuit Judge Anita Rivkin-Carothers to order the woman to sit in the gallery with the other spectators. In responding to the pretrial motion, attorney Dmitry N. Feofanov said the woman is his paralegal assistant and contends Gooch cites no good faith legal argument why she can't sit at the counsel's table. Feofanov, who in the past has described himself as a consumer protection lawyer, asked Rivkin Carothers to impose sanctions on Gooch for his motion. Gooch told the Chicago Daily Law Bulletin he wasn't objecting to the woman because she is buxom, but because he doesn't think she is a paralegal. Personally, I like large breasts, he said. However, I object to somebody I don't think is a qualified paralegal sitting at the counsel table dressed in such a fashion as to call attention to herself when there's already two lawyers there. Well, at least we all know who to call for legal help in the event that any of us gets busted.
If this were Whimsical Will's Demented News, this is the part where he would play the soundbite from The Naked Gun. Is this some kind of bust?
It's very impressive, yes.
Then, as a clever transition into the next story, he'd play a clip from the old-timey song, Cigarettes and Whiskey and Wild, Wild Women. Emergency personnel were called Wednesday to a Fort Walton Beach, Florida home where a man accidentally started a fire with rubbing alcohol and a cigarette. The man told deputies he was sitting on his bed cleaning an infection on his foot with the alcohol at about 10:30 a.m., said Battalion Chief Shannon Stone of the Fort Walton Beach Fire Department. Some alcohol spilled on the sheets, and when his cigarette touched the spill, a fire started. The man pulled the sheets off and left to go get something to put out the fire with. But when he returned, the fire was much larger, and the man left the house and called 911. All the people in the house were able to get out safely. Stone told the site the single-family home suffered significant damage and was uninhabitable. The fire was ruled accidental, and the man was ruled stupid. Remember, kids, smoking is bad for your health and for your property values.
Sean Murphy, 38, a security guard from Doncaster, UK, had seen his doctor repeatedly about the wart on his finger and also tried a variety of traditional ointments and creams. But when the persistent wart refused to disappear, he opted for the firepower of a 12-bore Beretta shotgun he claimed he had found under a hedge a few months earlier. His technique successfully removed the wart, along with most of the middle finger of his left hand. The unique medical solution also landed Murphy in court this week for illegal possession of a firearm. After leaving Doncaster Magistrate's Court with a suspended 16-week prison sentence, Murphy said, "I'm happy with that. I know I could have gone to jail for up to 15 years for a firearms offense. My solicitor did a very good job. The best thing is that the wart has gone. It was giving me a lot of trouble." Fucking dumbass. Murphy was employed as a security officer at Markham Grange Nurseries in Doncaster at the time of the incident in March, but has since lost his job. He has suffered with the irritating wart on the joint closest to the tip of his middle finger for more than 5 years. He said he drank several pints of beer to build up his courage before carrying out the operation outside the caravan where he was living at the time. Because that's what all licensed medical professionals do. Get good and liquored up before removing slight skin blemishes with an instrument usually used for moose hunting. His lawyer, Richard Haig, said Murphy has been a victim of his own stupidity when domestic pressures got to him. We wholeheartedly agree.
Now let's be honest here. Littering. We've all done it intentionally at some point. Especially if you have a neighbor with an adjoining property line, you'll sometimes rake some leaves or kick some random garbage over on their property and say, screw it, let them deal with it. But you try not to do that on a regular basis. Now, imagine someone who did that on a regular basis, say, almost every day for 2 years. Now imagine that same person doing it not with random items, but with the same items, empty tea bottles. Now imagine that the neighbor in question does not share a property line, but in fact lives 2 miles away. That, my dear listeners, takes a specific type of OCD mixed with stupidity that is glorious and rare, and found in Bonner Springs, Kansas, where Carol Green was fined $1,000 for throwing tea bottles in her neighbor's yard every day for 2 years. The ironically named Green pleaded guilty in court Friday to 4 counts of misdemeanor littering. Judge Gunnar Sundby set the fine at $250 on each count. Green was ticketed after Gary Bucati, who lives about 2 miles away from Green, submitted photographs of Green throwing empty tea bottles in his yard to the Leavenworth County Sheriff's Office. Bucati says the bottles started appearing in his yard about 2 years ago and quickly increased from one or two a week to almost every day. It felt like someone was targeting me, Bucati said. The way the bottles were right there by my mailbox and the way the driver would stop or slow down to throw out the bottle. It was nothing personal, Green told the judge. If I had to do it over again, of course, I wouldn't do it. She also submitted a letter to the judge explaining her struggle with impulse control, which was taken into consideration when the judge imposed the fines. Doesn't a problem with impulse control imply that she would have been throwing the bottles out of her car randomly and not the same spot every day for 2 years? Anyway, although happy with the outcome, Bucati is still confused about the circumstances. Who throws a bottle out the same place every day, he asked. Who litters on Earth Day? Stupid people from Kansas, that's who.
And finally, three women from out of the country drove their car into Mercer Swamp in Bellevue, Oregon, early Wednesday while trying to follow directions from their GPS. The women from Mexico told police they had been following the device about midnight but obviously took a wrong turn. The women went into the water with the rental car but were able to get out safely, said Carla Lafrate, spokeswoman for the Bellevue Police Department. The three, who primarily speak Spanish and needed an interpreter to explain to police what happened, called 911 to say their car was floating. Said Lafrate, they said something about being in a jungle. The women, all in their 30s, were driving back to the Embassy Suites in Bellevue's Eastgate neighborhood when they went west on Interstate 90 instead of east. They made a turn off Bellevue Way and drove down a boat ramp right into the water. They told Lafrate, it's totally submerged. All you can see is the top rack on the car. No one was injured, but the car, a Mercedes SUV, went far out into the swamp. The water was so deep that a tow truck was unable to pull it out. She said the women were in town for a Costco convention.
I'd like to drive in America, cruising alive in America. We'll surely thrive in America. Let's take a dive in America.
I like inventions from Costco.
Get in the car, girl, we must go.
Driving where it says we ought to.
Why is there all of this water? I'm driving down to America, cruising through town in America. GPS found in America. We're gonna drown in America.
People are stupid, and once again they have proven it. This has been News of the Stupid.
Yay.
Oh, can I say stuff?
Sure.
I don't litter. Fuck you. Also, I wanted to say something else.
Yes?
Back when News of the Stupid was on Manic Mondays, and I was submitting a story to Devo Spice, it was a very similar story where someone followed their GPS right into the water, and he wouldn't take it because he didn't agree that that qualified them as stupid.
We also had
it was like they were just following instructions.
One of the other, yeah. I know we've done at least one other GPS fail story like that on our version.
Which it still cracks me up that he didn't feel that qualified them as stupid.
And another one of the stories submitted this week was another story about kids trying to have a lemonade stand and, like, authorities shutting them down for not having proper, you know, health licensing to have a lemonade stand.
We already had one. A story like that.
That's why I didn't include it this time.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway. And now
we go into the past, even though we're in the future.
Or we play time a song.
Jump. Oh yeah, song and then time jump.
Yes.
She's got a thing for that John Bermuda. I might as well pack up and hop up talking. The keyboard is Ruben. Well, my baby's in love with John Bermuda. She's all crazy about that John Bermuda. If I was Jar Jar Binks, I'd say, how so rude. My baby's in love with her. I said, my baby's in love with John Bermuda. Why'd you never fall for that John Bermuda? When it comes to the drums, he's a master golden Buddha. Cause my baby's in love with John Bermuda.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Oh, okay. So, hi everyone, this is Luke.
And it's Carrie, and it's Thursday, and we're in a car, and we no longer have Bill, Josh, or Ken.
The reason for that is, after we took our last break, Sarah came home from work, and she informed us that her brother had been in a severe motorcycle accident, and she was quite upset, so we said, okay, we're going to stop podcasting and, you know, be there to comfort Sarah.
Now
it's been a couple of days. He's had a couple of surgeries. Things seem to be going well. Sarah's going to go visit him this weekend. Keep him in your prayers. And as Kurt's son Jason pointed out, when you're driving around, keep an eye out for motorcycles because.
And bicycles too, damn it.
And bicycles too. You don't want to be the kind of person who cuts off a motorcycle in traffic and then causes that motorcycle to crash and then keep driving and not give a shit about the person you potentially just murdered.
Or you know, be haunted by it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
So for the first time ever on the podcast, I'm driving. Which is weird because I'm not very good at talking and driving at the same time. Yay.
I wanted to say something about Kurt real quick.
Because
I mentioned, Sarah and I were talking after you guys left, and I told her something that I somehow thought I had told her before, and I guess I never did, and it's kind of funny. Like a day or two before the wedding happened, Kurt sent me a YouTube link of a scene from the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding,
uh-huh.
Where, like, you know, the bride has, like, you know, several older brothers, you know, so, like, they all go talk to the groom, and they're like, hey, how you doing? I just want to let you know, if you ever do anything to harm my sister, I'm going to gut you like a fish, and blah, 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 you know, like, but then, like, back to, hey, all happy, and blah, 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 and then, like, the second brother comes up and, like, does the same thing, and then, like, they call over to the other brother, who I think was played by one of the guys from one of the boy bands, I forgot what his name is, but they cut over to him, it's like, you know, and I forgot the character's name. Let's pretend it's Paulie. I don't know. But they cut over to him, and he's on the other side of the room, like, dancing with people. And he goes, like, hey, Paulie, we're going to kill you. Oppa! And then they start dancing and stuff. So, like, Sarah didn't know that he sent me that YouTube link just before I met her.
Yeah.
So she thought that was funny, just to kind of point out how awesome a guy Kurt is. So,
it's amusing.
So, anyway, what were you about to do? You were going to say something?
I already said it.
Oh, okay.
I'm just hoping we don't have live car accident on the podcast.
Well, I'll read what we're plugging now, and okay. If you feel like interjecting, go ahead, but if not, just drive.
Okay.
So, what's Luke plugging now? Yeah. Ugh. What's at the fump? What's at the fump? Things. Okay. So what's at the Fump? Not counting, you know, the 6 weeks worth of songs we haven't plugged that have been at the Fump in the past month and a half. What's at the Fump right now is Dirty Diaper by Morning Sidekick, Walking Silly by The Great Luke's Heat featuring Dana Flat 29, Feed the Children by Positude, Staying Fat by Cirque du So What,
and
Carrie Dalby, of course, duh. Dutiful Ladies by Flat 29 featuring Chris Mazzalesta. Sweet from Bike Man Begins by the Consortium of Genius, We're Gonna Hurt Them by TV's Kyle, Harry's Girl by Steve Goody. Other things of noteworthiness that should be plugged that we've completely neglected in the past 6 weeks, 26 and a Half, the new Weird Al Yankovic tribute album, is released, and it is available at weirdaltribute.com. It has tons of awesome songs in it, including the track My Baby's in Love with John Bermuda, which you just heard coming out of that break. Go check it out if you haven't already. It's totally awesome. WeirdAlTribute.com. And there is Cirque du Soleil's Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 1, Grandmother, which is available. I don't know if by the time you hear this podcast, the pre-order offer will still be available. It might be too late. So go to thefump.com and do the ordering of the album, Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 1, Grandmother. And if you're very lucky, you might get in time to get the bonus MP3 pre-order album. So go check that out. Carrie is on the album, as is Kim and Sarah and the rest of us, and all kinds of new awesomeness. Dr. Demento called...
Josh is on the bonus CD.
Yes, Josh is on the bonus CD. And Dr. Demento referred to the album as audacious and amazing and has already played a couple of tracks from it. So yeah, check that out. And, of course, Be Amused by Me, the new album by me, the great Luke Ski. Is at lukeski.com. It features four new songs, one of which is Walking Silly. The other three are new that you haven't heard before. So go buy the album, plus a couple of sketches featuring TV's Kyle that are new that you haven't heard before. So go to lukeski.com.
And art by TV's Kyle.
Art by TV's Kyle and coloring by Aaron Shea, who is very awesome.
Your droiding at me reminds me to put my phone on.
Yes.
Quiet.
So yeah, check that out, please. You can order the MP3 version for $9.99, or you can get the CD version that will come with an instant MP3 download for $14 plus shipping. So please help me out. Continue to make a living at this funny music thing by ordering Be Amused by Me. And if you haven't gotten around to ordering other things like the Bad Rapport 2-disc set or What a Rip Off Volume 2 or the Greatest Hits Collection, you can order those at the same time. Why not? Other people have, and it's made me money, so you can do it too. Okay. Speaking of things that benefit me, the Dr. Demento Show. Listen to the show and please request the song Snoopy the Dog by me, the great Luke Ski.
It is in my head today, even though I hadn't listened to it.
It is the most requested song of the year on the Dr. Demento Show and on the Mad Music Dimension Top 20. So it is beating out Perform This Way by Weird Al Yankovic and many other tracks by my talented colleagues. So please help me continue to whip the tar out of my friends and famous people by requesting Snoopy the Dog at the Dr. Demento Show website. That's drdemento.com/request. So yeah. Tour dates. I'm performing at a charity event called Can't Stop the Serenity on August 20th at the Portage Theater in Chicago, Illinois. They will be showing Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog and the movie Serenity. There'll be a costume contest that I'll be hosting. I'll be performing my funny music and selling my merchandise, and a third of the profits from my merchandise sales will go towards the charity's Equality Now.
Yesterday there was a bunch of oldie old cars on the street. It was cool. That was yesterday. Not today. It sucks again.
So, yeah. And then I should put in a quick plug for Archon 35 happening September 30th through October 2nd in Collinsville, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago, a suburb of St. Louis. And it's at archonstl.org/35. archonstl.org/35.
It's in the same state as Chicago.
True. And, of course, I'm still a caricature artist who needs work drawing caricatures at parties. So if you're in the Chicagoland tri-state area and you would like to book me for a party or event, please do so. You can also order individual caricatures from me anywhere in the country over the internet at artbylukeski.com. So you can do that too. Now the other day Carrie was wearing a pink shirt that had bears on it.
Yeah, it was the Care Bears and it said shake your bear behind, get it? Bear behind.
Yes.
And it was very, very pink, and the bears had rainbows on their chests, and that's the shirt we're going to count for this show, not the one I'm wearing now.
Okay.
And are we going to talk about... I don't feel like we talked about Gen Con that much, did we?
We could talk more about Gen Con if you like.
I just remember a funny thing from staying with you guys in your room. You
okay.
And Sarah. Me and Luke were, me and Josh were cuddling, and I was tickling him and, like, you know, punishing him for something. And then Sarah goes, "You guys make me sick." And then after that, of course, me and Josh had to try to provoke that reaction. So we went up and we went, like, noses on noses, shaking heads, and we go, "Oh, I love you." And then she got sicker and sicker, and it was hilarious. Of course, I had, like, earplugs shoved deeply in my ears at that point, so there may have been other funny things said that I missed. What else to say about Gen Con? I played no games, personally.
Well, neither did I. But I forgot to mention in talking about Gen Con in more specifics that I did a lot of stuff with the Damsels of Dorkington. They did a show Thursday night called All's Weird That Ends Weird, which is based on all of Shakespeare's least popular plays, which went over well. And then Friday during the day, I think it was Friday? Yeah, it had to have been Friday. Very long story short is MC Frontalot was at Gen Con. He was not performing, but he was attending the convention just for that day because it happened to be on his route to the next tour date he was going to. So I was sitting at my table, minding my own business, doodling caricatures, and all of a sudden somebody says hello, and I look up, and it's MC Frontalot. You know, and I've known Damien a little bit for a while. He's really nice. So we talked for a few minutes, and, you know, I shake his hand, I give him a copy of my new CD, and then he walks away. And then, like, 2 minutes later, Blythe from the Damsel sits down, and she starts talking to me, and I'm like, "Oh, yeah. MC Frontalot was just here." At which point, Blythe stands up and, like, looks over at her boyfriend, Jeff, from the Damsels and goes, "Jeff! That was him! Go!" And, like, points. And then, like, Jeff, like, kind of just stood there confused for a second. He's like, "What?" She's like, "Go! Just get..." And then she with a big boot on her foot because she has a cast because she broke part of her leg or something. Like, she just kind of immediately, like, skip, hop, jump, runs, like, out from behind my table and, like, grabs him and Ariana, the new green damsel, and they just kind of, like, you know, did, like, this total, you know, 24-style CTU, you know, surround and, you know, capture move to, you know, catch up with Damien. So that they could meet him and say hi to him and stuff. And Ari told me later that, since she hasn't really gotten much of good looks at him as far as what he looks like in pictures and stuff, she wasn't sure who she should be talking to because she didn't witness him at my table. So she was kind of, like, slowly scooching up behind guys who were bald wearing thick glasses. And just going,
which there's probably a lot.
And just going, like, "MC Frontalot, MC Frontalot," you know, like, trying to see if she had the right person. But,
did they find him?
Yeah, they found him, and they got to say hi to him and stuff. So, later that night, they had their Friday night space for quote-unquote performing was a pretty small room. Uh-huh. At least small for them, anyway. So, they basically turned it into a Damsels After Dark Q&A panel where they would answer any questions anybody asked. So, at some point in the day, I said to them, "Hey, you know what? Do you need someone to moderate that panel?" And they're like, "Well, I don't know. Sure, you want to moderate it?" And I'm like, "Sure." And I basically sat in on the panel so that I could, you know, be the person, you know, the master in control, taking questions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And not because I think they necessarily, you know, would have failed without me. I just kind of felt like, A, I wanted to make sure I had a seat in the room for the show. and B, you know, I just wanted to be part of the fun and, you know, throw in funniness when I could. You know, but I mainly was just there to direct and to let them answer their things and to not take over and be like, "Blah, blah, this is about me now, blah, 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 blah." Uh-huh. I did do that in one or two occasions when I had something particularly funny or poignant or relevant to the topic to say. Uh-huh. But I recorded the entire thing on the very Zen player we're recording with right now. So I'm going to listen to it and probably run it through Level later and then, like, send the master wave and MP3 to them so that they can decide what they want to do with it. Maybe the thought crossed my mind after the fact that maybe they could burn it onto a CD and have that be another little bit of product they could sell at their table of, you know, "Listen to the damsels talk about whatever," you know.
Yeah.
Whatever they want to do with it. Maybe they'll just post it as a free downloadable podcasty thing. I don't know. I mean, it's up to them. But I thought it would be worth it to record it because, you know, there were definitely some very funny moments in the thing. And then Saturday night they did a new form of performance comedy show.
That's technically a kind of a concert.
Yeah, it was meant to be an actual concert. They called it Dork Pride Pandemonium. And basically, it was them trying to do the damsel's version of a, you know, nerdy comedy music show like me and Carrie do all the time. So they had written a bunch of new songs, I have to say I was really impressed, especially with the couple of new parodies that were hip-hop slash R&B influenced, just to see them, you know, like four people, you know, in sync, in harmony, with choreography, being funny and nerdy at the same time. And it was just like, wow, why the fuck can't I get other people from the FUMP to do choreographed, cool things like this? And the main reason is...
they're good at improv, those four.
Yes, they're very good at improv. But for this particular show, I was just like so impressed by their, you know, and they basically said they've been so wrapped up preparing for Gen Con and preparing with Ariana. This was her first weekend of gigs with them ever, so they've been meaning to record more videos and record songs for the purpose of putting on the FUMP or putting on iTunes. So I'm really psyched and looking forward to what they're going to be doing next, you know, and stuff. So Blythe, I'm sure, will be keeping me appraised of what their status is on things. And I'm really psyched to hearing the new music recorded by the damsels. So yeah, that's more Gen Con coverage. Word. And now Carrie is going to go inside a building and retrieve something.
Yep.
So we didn't have any new iTunes reviews, so I could mention while I'm talking that
you're
people...
Are just going to sit here and record while you wait?
Because
I have to go...
Well, let me just say, you can make comments or leave messages or iTunes reviews, badreport.com, phone number 916-585-3754, 916-LukeSki. So this is the outro of the main part of the show. Stay tuned if you're interested to hear the Transformers wrap-up. The next song you're about to hear is the exclusive Luke and Carrie version of If I Could Be Weird Al by Money Shot Cosmonauts.
Yay!
Okay, thanks for tuning in.
Bye!
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 I wanna be Al Yankovic, so freaking bad, with white and nerdy fans I never had. Like Oprah, I would start my own Al magazine, with Bundy, Sharpton, Kata, Gore, and Green. Oh, every time I hear a song, my brain regurgitates it wrong, yeah. So all the words I sing along are abnormal. I'd be every fangirl's pal if I could be Weird Al. Yeah, I'd be crashing Alapalooza in my Belvedere Cruiser, rocking polka medleys of John Philip Sousa, be an Amish celebrity, losing on Jeopardy, with shirts like Nick Nolte and hair that's Def Leppardy. Pip the grapefruit diet, go on eBay and buy it. I'm no Jerry Springer, but in France I'm a riot. I love Rocky Rota, get kinky with Yoda, got a boogie like the biggest ball of Spam in Minnesota, make my roaches wear slippers, fall in love with the skipper, or an anorexic codependent bingo wag stripper. I hear Al wants a new duck that will teach him to swim. I guess it really must suck to be a rock star like him.
I never think a song is done.
The toast is done.
The toast is done.
Until you add a choreo.
Cause I perform this way, baby.
Pray for one more naked gun. Till then I shall sing about my root canal.
Drill me.
I become Weird Al.
Dare to be stupid.
Quirkiest, the smirkiest, my turkey next to turkiest of all the Albuquerque songs. I'll write to Albuquerqueist. I'll kick some pancreas in this doggy dog business with my billionaire bikini supermodel astrophysicist. Pretty fly for a reverend in Bologna file heaven, making albums in 3D, which cubes of 27. I'm buying me a Cuisinart on Craigslist there on sale tonight. I'll be the king of waffles, king of suede, and king of cellulite. I would tell you a iguana, it smells like Madonna, but right now Nirvana and I just don't wanna. And if money won't buy happiness, I'll just go and rent it.
So listen up, you weasel stoppers.
Stay demented.
I wanna be El Yankovic, so fetching bad.
Even worse.
I promise I'll be mellow when I'm dead.
Like a car battery.
I wanna do the Today Show on all Al TV.
On UHF.
With Roker and Capone and Ali G.
Hey, Jody A. Hoda. What up?
They say I'm close, but no cigar.
You're pitiful.
To radioactive CNR.
Yeah. No, yeah. Visited.
From a planet near Bruno Mars. And a cute crystal. And I eat Harvey the Wonder Hamster's pet. If I could be Weird Al,
stuck in the drive-thru.
If I could be Weird Al,
with Vanna White Dude.
With Vanna White Dude.
I wanna be Al Yankovic.
Me too. Me three.
So stinking bad.
So I wanted to record real quick so we can edit it into the end of the podcast. Josh, what did you think of Transformers 3?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was absolutely awesome. I mean, it was...
No, he's not being sarcastic.
No, I am not,
Jared.
I'm not being sarcastic. I think anybody who goes to this movie looking for fucking King Lear is going to be disappointed. If you're going there looking for a movie about giant robots killing other giant robots, lots of stuff exploding, and having a really, really, really good time while all that's going on, then Transformers 3 is an awesome movie.
Yep, we all really enjoyed it. Sorry, Jared. Sprinkled.
Yeah, sorry, man. I mean, if you got some other expectations for it, it's, you know, yes, it's the acting is not great. However, a lot of there were quite a few.
I didn't have that much problem with the acting. Personally.
Yeah, there was the John Malkovich piece was pretty awesome. His company, the interview.
The blonde wasn't bad. Yeah. I enjoyed.
The floor is yellow.
Gia Leibow.
Yeah, actually, the Megan Fox replacement was quite satisfactory. So,
yeah,
could you have any criticisms of the film?
Yeah, that, you know, I would agree with what other people would say. Yes, there should be more robot, less human, but that's usually the case in most sci-fi movies, that the humans are always the less developed, less interesting characters.
Yeah,
I mean, that's always been the case.
Are you good on change?
Yes, I believe I am.
I gave you a dollar.
Yeah, but we'll have another one coming up shortly.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, long story short, it was a great movie. I would absolutely see it again. It was actually a very good use of 3D, which
yeah,
you
really,
really
yeah, the
don't
3D
see very
was
often.
Excellent. The 3D was excellent.
I'm so glad we saw it in 3D.
Hi.
Our group of four didn't really do it on purpose. We just, you know, the 3D showing was the showing at the time that we wanted to go.
Yes.
And then after I was sitting there long enough, I texted Josh, who went later, and I said, you have to see the 3D version. Don't go to the 2D version.
What I thought was really, and again, I have not seen the second Transformers film, which I heard is utter and complete shiite.
Yeah, pretty much is.
But the difference between that first movie and the third movie, The Jump, one of the biggest problems the first movie, you know, aside from the storyline and everything else, was the fight scenes. Everything was just too fast. It was fast for the sake of being fast. You couldn't see what was going on. You couldn't really get a sense of anything because it's, you know, whirling bits of metal. This time I thought they actually slowed it down a little bit. You could actually see what was going on. It still appeared that things were going very quickly, very powerfully, but you got to kind of identify the different Transformers.
Yeah, the whirling bits of metal got even worse in the end of the final battle of the second Transformers movie. You couldn't tell which robot you were supposed to be rooting for because they all looked the same in the desert fighting shit. Like, you could say, oh, that's Bumblebee, that's Prime, who the fuck is everybody else?
Right.
You know, Devastator, that's the only other one you could recognize. Like, oh, that's the giant one made of five different things. You can easily identify Devastator anyway. So, all right, just wanted to make sure we got Josh's opinion in on this since he was involved with the big old episode.
Yay, Transformers 3!
Absolutely.
Okay. And stop. Yes, we are recording. I'll wait for you to be driving forward.
It's mighty white of you.
It's mighty white of me?
You never heard that saying?
No.
Yeah, that's mighty white of you.
I have not heard that saying before. So So, like, if I went, you know, I'm going to wear a straw hat and vote Republican, you'd say, that's mighty white of you. Is that in context?
I guess.
Okay. Well. Anyway, hi. What you just heard before this was Josh's comments on Transformers 3 that we recorded in Florida.
Like
on
3 weeks ago.
Yes, on our way to the airport. So now we will read other people's comments. Episode 44, the Transformers special, the wrap-up. So, Slightly D says, 4+ hours of bad rapport focusing on the Transformers franchise. Ecstasy times infinity squared. Oh, this would be a good...
He's not the guy that listened to it twice.
No,
we met a guy, and I don't remember his name, but we met a guy at Gen Con who's listened to that episode twice.
In its entirety, twice. And Sarah, upon hearing that, said, I was going to say I'm sorry, but no, you're just broken.
Yeah.
Is what she said. So thank you, broken fan.
There's no way I would sit through it twice.
We also met a lot of people, or at least I met a lot of people this weekend, who listen to Bad Rapport, who never comment.
Yeah.
So there are phantom listeners out there who listen, but, you know, we never hear from them.
In other words, maybe we have more listeners than we think we have.
Yeah.
Since we have a weird finagle, not non-scientific way of counting them.
Yes. So let's get back to the comments. Arkel says, I have this on my iPod, but I don't know if I'm going to listen to it. The length is a major concern, but also I never really cared for Transformers. Even when I was in the age group it was marketed towards, I was a little kid in the 80s, and I was really more of a Ninja Turtles fan. Hopefully the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that's coming out soon, featuring Sean Ashton as one of the voices of the Turtles, will do the franchise more justice than the 2005 movie. Not that that was bad, I enjoyed it, but I'd also be the first to admit it was really a flawed film. I don't know, I thought it was a good film. I thought the animation and the visually, it was amazing. So,
yeah,
anyway.
There was a
CGI movie that was simply titled TMNT. I have it on DVD, and I really thought it was a well-made film.
There's no fucking way I'm ever watching that movie for any reason.
Why?
I don't even like the Ninja Turtles.
Oh.
Much less, no.
Well, no, it's not like live action with CG. It's all CG. It's an animated film.
I don't care what it is. I don't want to see it. Why?
You're no fun anymore.
Why? Is our next big topic Ninja Turtles? Because I ain't on that episode, I'm telling you.
Okay. Mr. Tuesday says, Arkel, as far as I know, Sean Astin is only doing voices for the new TMNT cartoon for Nickelodeon, not any upcoming feature film. Okay. Brickman Z says, it was a great pleasure to be part of this episode, and I'm glad to have given Luke the Black Lab track to play. I think it should be noted that when we saw Transformers 3, it was in 3D, mainly due to the fact that this was the closest time Carrie could join us for the film. The 3D was all right, but I'd rather see this again in regular 2D if given the opportunity. Maybe it's just me.
I liked the 3D.
Yes.
So did Josh.
I did. I liked it too. And also, if I haven't said this before, the guys at the Scope who were shitting on 3D going to see previews of movies for free and then complaining that the 3D breaks, saying I'm never going to pay to see a 3D movie again. You didn't pay to see the 3D movie that time.
I think
when you're paying for it.
Honestly, Jared Ringgold, I think both of us got a little riled up at your review.
Yeah.
Like, let's see. We just went to a movie. We all enjoyed it. We came out with kind of a feeling of triumph. And then, like, the next day or whatever, I listened to the Scope review, and they gave it a 1/4 star out of 4 and said they wish they could give it 0 stars.
Or 1/8 of a star.
A lot of things that we liked about it, they said they hated. You know, we were like, oh, we like how it's like all these multicultural characters. And they're like, oh, it's all this racism. Oh, racism.
Because, you know, Shrek is racist against Scottish people because he happens to have a Scottish accent. You know.
So I made Josh listen to it, and he didn't like the review either.
I did type in a letter or a comment to comments@thescopeshow.com, specifically mentioning one point I wanted to make to Shane. But I sent it along with the artwork they requested, so hopefully that will butter them up enough to actually include the comment in the show that
all
they record
I did was
next.
That somewhere on Facebook I was like, you know, hey Shane, you knew you were seeing, you know, a movie about giant killer robots and not Hamlet, right? Or something to that effect.
Yeah, that, which is basically the same thing Josh said earlier in Florida.
Yeah.
Except Josh said King Lear, so.
Yeah.
But I'm more familiar with Hamlet myself.
Yeah, me too. I think I either said Hamlet or Macbeth.
So, you know, we love the Scope, and we will continue to listen to the Scope, but
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I miss Adam.
There's no fucking Adam on anything.
I got caught up on the Scope things that I hadn't listened to in weeks, and Adam's
and you know
not
what?
On anything.
So, like, they asked me to draw Adam as Egon from the real Ghostbusters. You know what would make it easier to draw Adam? If there were any fucking pictures of him anywhere on the goddamn internet.
Yeah, that would be a...
So if my likeness of Adam isn't that accurate, it's because I couldn't fucking find a picture
like.
Of him.
He has a beard, I think, they said.
Yeah.
That's about all you get to know.
Oh, and I saw somebody at Gen Con dressed in the same type of Minecraft
Ooh,
character
I'm
outfit.
Right by my bank. Can I go in and get some cash?
If you want to.
I like getting cash that doesn't cost extra money.
Yeah, Jared, I saw somebody dressed up in, you know, in kind of the same... copycat kind of Minecraft outfit that you did first at Convergence. So, yeah. Anyway, enough ripping on our friends at the Scope for disliking a movie.
Well, I don't mean to rip on them as people. I just,
it would be
it
would be nice to hear
review.
Them talk about things they actually like. You know,
well, they did on Captain America. They retrieved enjoyment from that film.
Yes, it made me happy to hear that they were happy with that film.
All right, should we pause?
I'll try.
Oh, you don't have to. That's okay.
Come right here. Okay, now that we've unpaused, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's entirely possible Jared Ringgold isn't even listening to this.
Well, he used to always listen to our podcast.
Yeah, but he may have chosen not to listen to the Transformers one because he was, you know, fed up with it. So, anyway.
No.
But, you know, we love Jared. He is awesome. We're psyched that he's coming to WindyCon with possible Oscar.
More importantly, I just became mayor of my bank.
Yay.
Yay.
Does that mean you get mad fat mayor money?
No, it means I got a crown.
Wee. Just like on your shirt.
Yeah.
So, okay, next comment. Slightly D says, 32 gigabyte iPod Touch, $312. High-speed internet connection, $40. Gas burned while commuting and listening to podcasts, $50. Succumbing to the urges to break out the DVD of the 1986 movie to watch for the first time in forever and a day, and getting to see my six-month-old daughter totally transfixed by the title sequence, priceless. There we go.
Yay.
All right, we have Ken, Madman on the Loose, says... Normally, for me, the longer the LCBR, the better, and would not mind future extended-length episodes on other subjects. However, being someone who only knows about Transformers history from the song The Ballad of Optimus Prime, I was not planning on listening. The only reason I have any interest in the new movie was being in a hotel across the Chicago River while some of the scenes were filmed and wanting to see the finished product. The previews on TV supplied that for me. As personally recommended, I did listen to the last 45 minutes, which had the movie review, and did enjoy the conversation. I am not going to erase this episode and possibly listen to the whole thing as the next time I'm at work on a weekend when I can listen.
Yeah, I don't think he's got any weekend work since then.
Yeah, and if somebody referring to themselves as Number 11 says... I'm not really a Transformers fan, but I did enjoy your show. If nothing else, now I get more of the jokes from Revenge of the Filmin'. I was glad you didn't get too much into the GoBots hate. The toys, early ones at least, were pretty good, even if the show wasn't. Just some random fan. Thank you, random fan, for being involved in the podcast.
Thanks, Rand fan.
Alrighty, Squirrel Girl says, I totally want to see some movie filmed in Tacoma now. Much like how any book set in Seattle automatically becomes more awesome because, hey, I know that place. I can't really say too much more about the podcast because I haven't seen any Transformers, anything except for bits and pieces of ones of the movies. And I remember nothing about it except where the robots, except there were robots and fight scenes, which is kind of a no-brainer. Okay, thank you, Squirrel Girl. Breakman C, once
wonder
again.
What her first name is.
I don't know.
I got some random people from that part of the country that have friended me on Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Breakman Z says, just happened to think of something to discuss. We mentioned Gem being back on the air on Hub, and there's also a Thundercats remake coming on Cartoon Network on July 29th. What other old-school cartoon would you like to see brought back in some form? Refer to every time Draconis asked us the same question for the answer.
Rainbow Bright.
Rainbow Bright. Jason the Wheeled Warriors.
Hey, look, I can legally turn this time.
Yay!
It's 4 minutes after six.
Yes. Bar One Scorpio says, and the Thundercats reboot was pretty damned epic. Well, literally damned epic. Animation and voices by the folks behind Avatar The Last Airbender, it seems to be, at a glance at least, with a Escaflowne Lord of the Rings Troy flair. I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes. I watched the Thundercats first three episodes, and I have to admit, it's fucking awesome. It's goddamn awesomeness.
Nobody stole your car.
I'm going to read one more comment here before I get into my car. Chuck Williams says, literally just finished number 44. I was putting off the last part of it until I had a chance to see Dark of the Moon, which I did this weekend. I'm writing this from work, so no time to really go into detail about my opinion of Dark of the Moon, so I'll sum it up by saying I'm pretty much ambivalent about the film. It lacks much of the glaringly obvious problems which dragged down Revenge of the Fallen and had plenty of fanboy joy moments, but there were several things that left me unsatisfied. One point from the Transformers special I wanted to address, the criticism of having humans in combat with the Autobots against the Decepticons, credited to Michael Bay's apparent obsession with the military. Carrie raised a good point that the cost of CGI might be a factor in that, but I had another thought. I'm in no way denying Bay's huge Woody for anything military, but consider this. Having discovered that sentient alien life not only exists but is active on Earth, there's no way that the United States government would let such beings, even ones that have actively allied themselves with humanity, operate without some kind of government-connected oversight. From a, quote, realistic as we can make it considering the premise, unquote, angle, I can accept the members of NEST, I believe that's the correct acronym, tagging along with the Autobots if only because their mission reports are likely going to whatever government agency has been assigned to, as they no doubt would put it, the, quote, Transformer problem, unquote. Running past break here, so we'll sign off and await episode 45. So there we go. Chuck Williams, who is not named Douglas Williams, but in fact is Chuck Williams. I had somebody named Douglas Williams on my Facebook page because I thought he was Chuck Williams, and then I realized that that was wrong, and that Douglas Williams
turned out to be somebody bad.
Yes. So I banned that person and added Chuck. So yay. I'm glad that Chuck still exists and is listening to the podcast. Thank you, Chuck. We're going to pause again here while we do shenanigans.
Go get a haircut.
Hey, Luke and Carrie, the cartoons I forgot to mention in the last one included that starting in June came out the new Voltron. In July, they're bringing out the new Thundercats. The fact that the Smurfs live-action movie is coming out then. The fact that they brought out G.I. Joe, a new Transformers, etc., etc. It's showing a little bit of ridiculousness. As for your Transformers episode, great from what I hear so far. There was four series that take place between Transformers the original and Beast Wars. That included a special called Scramble City, which takes place just before the movie, about a year before the movie, but after season two. Headmasters, Master Force, and Victory, which all three replaced season four. Then after Beast Wars comes Beast Wars the second and Beast Wars Neo. And I'll call on another time to give you the rest of after I listen to the rest of the episodes. Have fun, all. Bye.
That was a voice message from Draconis. He has left a couple other, actually three altogether, fairly long comments that we'll finish up the show with. So here we go. Draconis says, okay, let's start with series lists, parentheses means Japanese only, series and asterisks means coming slash came to DVD for the Japanese series, and an at symbol for American series not on DVD, which I'm sure will mean a lot to you people who are listening to this in audio format. In order, Transformers, Scramble City OVA taking place between season 2 and the movie, 1, the movie,
Headmasters, Master Force, Victory, Zone OVA, Beast Wars, Beast Wars 2, Beast Wars 2 the Movie, Beast Wars Neo, Beast Machines Should Have Never Been, Robots in Disguise, Armada, Energon, Cybertron, Animated Season 1, Season 2, Season 3, then Prime. There were specials such as Robot Masters 2 through 3, 5 to 7 minute episodes, Primeval Dawn, Theft of the Golden Disc 2 parts, BotCon exclusive showing the prequel to Beast Wars showing the Maximals and Predacons were vehicles, and the designs for a lost third part to the Beast Saga called Transtech Transformers but was canceled because of the poor response to BM. Transformers.wikia.com/wiki/transtech. Now for the Bayformers, Welker chose not to be Megatron, thus the new actor. If you can find the exclusive bonus disc for the first film, it gives the origins of when, how Bumblebee, Megatron, and the Decepticons' arrival to Earth. Welker did agree to voice Soundwave after the rave reviews on the first, and provided his voice for the sequel, or for the prequel. Rumor is Spielberg's directing number 4, so go figure. A little toy trivia, Luke, there is a toy of Human Alliance character Spike Witwicky, and with Bumblebee is Sam Witwicky. Could it be Sam is the younger brother and Spike was in the military? Insert belch here. Luke, you said you had Unicron? If it was before the 2003 version, it's worth a lot. All info I found stated that the 86 one was a prototype only. Yes, I got the 2003 version. There was no 86 version that was ever released. And then he lists a couple of JPEG links. Was this the one you had? Luke, I did find a site to order the missing stuff for the most part, but you should find some in the dealer's room at cons. Just ask the one selling series not currently on DVD, but make sure to check the disc before purchase. You were curious of my age before? It's 38. I had a birthday on the 18th of June. You can YouTube the Theft and Robot Masters, since both are dubbed by tfcog.com. Is this feedback 4 hours long yet? My favorite Beast Wars episode is Code of Hero, which I sent you. See it so you see why. Later, all. That's the end of comment number one. Comment number two. Okay, time for the Beast Wars history lesson. The prequels called Theft of the Golden Disc takes place just before the events of the main series. The true leader of the Predacons, Cryotech, sends Megatron to retrieve for him the Golden Discs, which only he, supposedly, can decode, showing the location of a large Energon deposit. Megatron, along with his second-in-command Scorponok, Dinobot, and several others, split into two teams to confuse the Maximal Defense Force, MDF, from his mission. The first team was to shut down the power grid while Megatron and Dinobot retrieve the key to the first disc. Note, Megatron becomes the G2 Megatron tank and Dinobot becomes a digger. During the heist, Megatron contacts his own hacker, Tarantulas, to meet him at the hangar to decode the discs. While he sets up another distraction via double-crossing Cryotech and send a false transmission that the Maximals can track, thus capturing Cryotech before he can double-cross Megatron. Next come the main series opener. The MDF sends out a signal to any Maximal ship in the area to try and stop the Predacon ship from reaching its destination. The Axelon, captained by Optimus, goes after the dark side while still hiding the secret Maximal experiment Protoform X. When the Maximals start firing on the Predacons in transwarp space, thus causing both ships sent to an unknown space/time coordinates, the Axelon sent all but the skeleton crew via stasis pods into space around the orbit of a two-moon planet. After the crash landing, both teams discover that the raw Energon radiation can cause them to go into stasis lock without a special organic shell to protect them. Thus, the Beast forms. After Dinobot discovers this might not be the right planet, Dinobot challenges Megatron for leadership, but is defeated by a shot from behind via Scorponok. During the first season, both sides vie for the crash stasis pods for more troops on their side. They soon discover that they're not the first race to land there. An alien race called the Vok were using the planet as a type of testing stage to find the sentient races. After several attempts by the Preds using the alien tech for their own means, the Vok decide to purge the planet of all life by a planetary weapon hidden as the second moon. The Maximals hijack a transwarp modded pod. Unfortunately, Megatron hijacked the system, locking it to explode inside the Vok weapon, destroying both the cannon and the Optimus Primal. But the combined radiation caused both factions not protected by regeneration chambers to mutate into a bio-cyber being where the beast forms and robot forms reverse. Thus, the base form has organic and the beast form becomes mechanical. They also discover that they landed on primitive Earth 20,000 BCE. Watch the series to discover more. And Draconis' final comment, official releases for Quintessons and RC. Note, Quintessons is from Armada and RC is from Animated, but she's the closest to G1 you can ever get officially. And then he has links to those two things. So there you have it. Transformers special episode wrap up. The end. I got to go to bed. Thank you all for your feedback. I hope you all enjoyed the episode, especially those of you who listened to it more than once. So yeah, we will do another episode like this in the future on a different topic. Until next time, here's one more song to go out on. This is Luke Ski. See you at episode 47. And buy my new album at lukeski.com. Peace.
So anyway, she's like 37. I've been chasing her. And I don't know.
Yo, Malachi Brohan, what's up?
Yo, what's cracking, Tony?
Who disrupts my coronation?
What's going on over there?
Coronation Starscream? This is bad comedy.
Megatron? Is that you?
Here's a hint.
Oh! Damn!
Ew!
Dude, great!
We got smart!
Look! Turn it black!
You guys suck! You got me?
Damn. I just went to dust, yo.
Forget about me.
I got something for you. Transform.
Roll out.
Bacala.
Go down.
If you want to start, your sparks will get blown out. Malachi programs loud and live.
We Tony B 2005.
So transform.
Roll out.
Bacala.
No doubt.
If you want to start, your sparks will get blown out. Malachi programs loud and live.
We Tony B is 2005.
You know I keep on trucking like Optimus. You do stopping this, that's the calculus. You keep popping ish, you just jocking this. You get smoked like an Energon rocket brick. You're not that slick. I'll take your laser core, hit 2005 store, then I'll blaze some more. I'm taking haters to war, 84 reception, and I scored some weapons to thwart your deception. Strapped with street sweepers, heat seekers, my speech bumping speakers. You yellow like sunstreakers, shift like old Ironsides with my iron hide. You wanna fight? I might just smite your tire guys. Fire up the engines, all systems go. What's on the Cybertron pimp? I'ma trick your hoe. Ramjet and spit this flow, get this dope. G12, I might have gotta rip this show. Transform,
roll out,
Bacala,
no doubt.
If you wanna start, your sparks will get blown out. Malachi programs loud and live.
We Tony B 2005.
Transform,
roll out,
Bacala,
no doubt.
If you wanna start, your sparks will get blown out. Malachi programs loud and live.
We Tony B is 2005.
Yeah. 2005 is the army, y'all. Like Bruticus, ruin your nation as I'm doing this. Swoop on chicks, but they all wanna look at me sideways. I make them headmasters and I'm hitting the highway. That's why they hound me, saying things they don't mean. Call me a dope fiend from the size of my smoke screen. Don't dream to tell a fan that I'm Yellow Man. I'm the one like Teletran with fam like Taliban. An enigma, live like Vector Sigma. Let's review like G2 and have you with a stigma. Now keep in mind, my iron hides in my jacket, and you'll be needing prime when fire flies out my ratchet. Ah. So call an ambulance and the protective bots and stay on red alert until you hear my record pop. On second thought, I'll change gears and insist. Nerds and dimwits flip like twin twists, bitch.
Transform.
Roll out.
Bacala.
No doubt.
If you wanna start, your sparks will get blown out. Malachi programs loud and live.
We Tony B 2005.
Transform.
Roll out.
Bacala.
No doubt.
If you wanna start, your sparks will get blown out. Malachi programs loud and live.
We Tony B is 2005.
Yo, you bastards are silly. Don't let me catch you in Philly. Make you really need to switch up like Blast to the Billy. My skills are timeless. Big shot like Primus. I'll drop your spineless enemies with live hits. Milf Hunter, ill wonder. You fought from large like Wind Charger and Cliff Jumper. Punks are dumb when guns are drawn like Megatron and Shockwave. Pumping high octane, that's how Autobots play.
Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the sea spray. Rampage and replay, hey there, Mr. DJ. It's D-Day, so I drop the depth charge. Hit you broadside, then I slide, that's the best part. Even Cinna Twins, I make sweet like cinnamon. Intel and Hojo, oh no, it's them again. I'm on the prowl, so now when I need some, even as Leader One, I could pull Leader One.
Hey! That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Malachi Brohans, yeah. Tony B.
Yeah.
Can't F with this.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Appalachia programs loud and live.
We Tony B 2005.
Come on, transform.
Roll out.
Buckle up.
No doubt.
If you want to start, your sparks are getting blown out. Appalachia programs loud and live.
We Tony B in 2005.
Big up the 2005 crew. Formus, Primus, Kickback, Jux, Goki. Uh-huh. You know what's up, Alvarez, Fran, yeah. CyberCon crew, represent.
What?
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
How many times must I kill you, Super Horse? Next time, Shoebox will remain gay.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.